Have you ever felt overwhelmed or been under a huge amount of pressure?
Have you ever lashed out at loved ones or those around you due to feelings of anger or anxiety?
Could you sometimes not explain or had trouble accepting certain feelings and emotions? Stress may be the cause of all these situations. My name is Chaselyn Maxwell.
And I am Anna Sminsky. And in this podcast, we will discuss the origins of stress, its effects, and how bottling it up can result in damaging consequences. When an individual is under pressure or is anxious, a region at the base of the brain, called the hypothalamus, causes stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline to be released. Breathing and pulse begin to quicken, and blood pressure increases. Other bodily functions that are not immediately needed, such as digestion, are suppressed. The body begins to enter fight or flight mode.
Though acute stress helps us survive in dangerous situations, assist us in accomplishing our tasks more efficiently, and can even boost our memory, prolonged exposure to stress can have some seriously harmful effects. Chronic stress occurs when an individual has been constantly stressed for a long period of time, causing the overproduction of stress hormones. This can lead to the decline of the immune system and can cause damage to bone, organ, and brain cells. Chronic stress can also trigger high blood pressure, headaches, fatigue, depression, anxiety, obesity, and heart disease.
Recent studies have even shown that it can raise an individual's odds of developing viral infections. Unhealthy habits such as bottling up emotions, not sleeping enough, overworking and drinking, smoking, and over or under eating to cope with the pressures of life can worsen these side effects. Personally, I have succumbed to the unhealthy habit of bottling up my stress and emotions. During my junior year of high school, I was incredibly stressed due to the excessive amount of extracurriculars I decided to take on. Jumping from play practice to volunteering to hours and hours of homework was just too much. Over the span of a few months, my health had begun to deteriorate. I switched between eating either too much or too little, and it was incredibly difficult for me to fall asleep at night. I was constantly nervous or uneasy. Even simple things such as talking in front of a class when I got called on became incredibly difficult for me. I became irritable and distant from my family and friends, and there was little anyone could do to cheer me up. Only after spring break, when I went on a family vacation, did my mood finally begin to lift. A week of sleep and relaxation helped me curb my stress, and I was back to feeling like myself again. Throughout that period of time when I would wake up every morning already stressing about all the things I had to do that day, I had developed chronic stress. My body was overproducing stress hormones, causing my immune system to deteriorate. I was sick constantly. Every month for about 4 months, I would catch some sort of flu. High levels of cortisol also caused fluctuations in my appetite, causing me to alternate between quickly gaining or losing a lot of weight. In addition, the troubles I had with getting enough sleep due to my constant state of stress led to a steady increase in my anxiety.
There was a time in my life where I thought keeping my feelings and emotions to myself was the solution to a problem that I had no control over. In freshman year, our apartment rent doubled due to a new management, and my family had to move, and we had to rely on hotels. Moving from one hotel to another was not too bad, and at least we had a roof over our head, but things between my family were not so well. Fights began, but my younger brother and I had no room to go in and close the door behind us. We were all in one singular room with two beds. A little later, my dad went to the doctors, and they told him that he had a brain disease and that he would be brain dead the next year. This caused a lot of tension between us, and we were just very heartsick and depressed for a long time, not knowing what's gonna happen. This ended up being a false report, and the doctors never got back to us about how my dad was doing, and we never went to that hospital again, and my dad is perfectly fine 4 years later, with no symptoms at all. During that same year, and a little bit in sophomore year, we started losing our storages. So everything we owned was the things that we carried on our backs through the hotels and into the new apartment. We actually found a new apartment the next summer, and things were going really well, but then fights started up again between my mom and dad about past things. My grandmother would constantly tell me things about the relationship between my parents, and it was just things I did not need to know about their past, when I was born, and in the present. Sometimes for my dad to let off steam, he would vent to me, and again, it was things that I really didn't need to be hearing. During this whole time, I have built these mental walls so that way the stress at home would not affect me at school or spill into my social life. I did not talk about my feelings and stayed positive or neutral for my family because I thought it would give them hope. I never vented to my friends because I thought my problems were insignificant compared to theirs, and I let everything brush over me like it was nothing. I put my emotions on the back burner for so long that it became hard for me to even show them. I never talked about myself and would listen to everyone else's problems. When the stress of junior year hit, all of my walls crumbled down. I was becoming more oblivious and lazy as the year went on. My appetite fluctuated, and I would lash out towards any person, even if I loved them very much. I would cry at dumb things and moments, and even when I'm not supposed to cry, or laugh, or get angry. And my patience for certain things was little or non-existent. I was becoming very forgetful, and I was very foggy-minded. After a crying fit at school, I was brought into the nurses, then I went to go talk to my counselor, and I started talking to her a little bit as the year went on, and I was able to take almost everything I had off of my chest and work on myself with a helping hand. Because of the few and brief venting sessions, I was able to say things I have never said out loud, and they finally sinked in, and I was able to find insight on myself. Though, as a lasting effect, I am still working on my forgetfulness. What happened to me was just one stressful situation after another, and I kept on putting my emotions in the backseat, and I never addressed them because I never thought it was necessary. This caused me to have a rather muted, chronic stress, which triggers my sympathetic nervous response to release adrenaline and cortisol. I was so stressed out by everything, I became anxious and tired. Since I did not release these feelings mentally, my organs and bodily systems were getting damaged. My body was sending out signals, and I was ignoring them, so it kept on going and was holding on to the things I did not let go. My mental state was preoccupied, causing me to become very forgetful and lost in my own head. The release of the stress hormones caused my appetite to fluctuate multiple times. And overall, I was just putting toxins in my body because I wasn't releasing any.
Though we've only really talked about the bad side effects of stress, don't worry, there are many different ways that you can manage it. Understanding how you stress and identifying any triggers such as work, financial decisions, relationships, and any other causes can greatly help in taking control of stress. Eating right, regular exercising, getting enough sleep, and taking vacations are also all vital to keeping stress at bay.
And sometimes having a designated person or a ranting app for you to talk about what's on your shoulders is important to have, especially if you are a type of person that thinks your struggles are too insignificant to talk about with someone close, or if you're a person that even thinks the expression of certain emotions make you look weak. These, of course, are insecurities that need to be brought up and dealt with, but in the meantime, you need to find healthy outlets to release steam verbally. The stress that comes from bottling up emotions is not always solved by more sleep or extensive exercise. Actually, these are signs that you are avoiding to confront to yourself the issues you have. Having a good relaxing exercise like yoga or meditation, or even a good scream as you run with tears in your eyes, is releasing a lot of buildup stress.
During my junior year, I should have focused more on managing my time efficiently in order to better control my stress. And I shouldn't have taken on too many activities that I just didn't have the time for. If I had made more of an attempt to eat properly and get enough sleep, or had asked for help when I needed it, my stress would not have been as persistent and unmanageable.
In my case, I should have talked more about my feelings on our family situation with somebody and not think down on my own problems. It would have been nice to find other outlets to let off steam as well, like a good run or some nice yoga. I also should have made sure that I took care of myself in diet, sleep, and addressing my negative thoughts. And I definitely should not have faked how I felt. Being true to myself and others is very hard, but it is absolutely necessary. Well, we hoped you learned a thing or two about how to manage your stress.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, and tune in next time.